Good morning, church. We are taking the Bible reading this morning from the book of Mark, as we have done past few weeks. Book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 1 to 8. Thank you. So the book Bible reading this morning is taken from the book of Mark, chapter 16, from verse 1 to 8. We've actually been reading from the beginning of Mark, so here we are. Last week on Friday we're on 15. From verse 1, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Verse 6. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Amen.
Thank you, Tunde. Good morning, everyone. Christ is risen. Amen. We're going to spend some time in that reading that we had this morning from Mark chapter 16. But before we come to that, allow me to pray and commit this time to God. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks and praise that we can read these words in our hearing today. And Lord, we pray as we delve into these words, may your Holy Spirit be at work through me in all of us, doing the work that you are so good at doing, transforming us, bringing us closer to you, and helping us to see how we live as a response to what we hear today. We ask this for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. A number of years ago, I remember reading an interesting book. It came to, after reading for a while, it came to a very abrupt end. You know, like you start reading and then suddenly it ends. The main character disappeared and the story just ended there. But then you turn the page and it wrote, "Now it's your move. How would you finish the story?" Now, for the past 10 weeks, we have been following the king, haven't we? We have been following the story of Jesus from the Gospel of Mark. We haven't gone through every chapter, but we've looked at his arrival at the scene as the king. We saw the conflicts that he had with the religious leaders. We heard his challenge to his followers to listen, to have faith, to have a heart commitment as we follow him. We heard his teaching. We saw his miracles. And last Sunday, we followed him to Jerusalem riding on a donkey. But on Friday, as we saw, instead of people following him, people rejected him, right? One of his friends, Judas, betrayed him. Another friend, Peter, denied knowing him not just once, but three times. And all of his friends abandoned him at the Garden of Gethsemane. The religious leaders, the political leaders, the soldiers, the Jewish population rejected Jesus. And then we saw Jesus being crucified between two criminals. And at the cross, Jesus felt that even his Father had turned away, rejected him. And chapter 15 ends with Mark telling us that the life of his body was brought down by a man named Joseph of Arimathea. And he wrapped the body of Jesus in linen cloth and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. And then he rolled a stone against the entrance to the tomb. And we've been singing the two songs that we've sung, the two songs before, told that story, right? Jerusalem, how Jesus went through the suffering and went through the cross. You see, friends, once the stone was rolled into the place of that tomb's entrance, that was it, right? It was truly over. Nothing more to expect from a dead body, right? The story of Jesus had abruptly ended. But then, as Ed mentioned on Friday, he whetted your appetite, didn't he? The story continues. Mark picks up the story 3 days after Jesus was crucified. And we wonder, what else is there to tell of a dead man? Maybe a bit of an eulogy. Maybe there's a footnote that he wants to write. But let's look at this chapter together. I'm going to look at it in four headings. As expected, chapter 16 begins with a finished story, right? With the finished story. Mark says after the Sabbath was over on Saturday evening, the three women started preparing the spices to go and anoint the body of Jesus, the dead body of Jesus, because they couldn't do that on Friday because they had to prepare for the Sabbath. This happened on Saturday. And then Sunday early morning, next day, they make this slow, gloomy, sad journey to the tomb, carrying the spices. The only problem they had was how to get into the tomb. They asked one another, who will roll the stone away from the entrance to the tomb? You see, friends, for them, the story ended on Friday. They saw Jesus being dragged down the streets of Jerusalem. They saw his hands being nailed to a cross, blood dripping. They saw his lifeless body being brought down and mummified and laid in a tomb. They saw and probably felt as this big stone was rolled away against the entrance of the tomb. And even if you look at verse 6, you see why they came. They came to see the crucified Jesus. As far as they were concerned, the story has ended. Only thing they can do now for him, their good friend Jesus, is to give him a proper burial, to respect him and probably move on somehow. And this is the reality for some people, isn't it? The story of Jesus has ended for them. The Gospels are just historical records of a man who lived 2,000 years ago. He did great things, but he's dead now. He can't do anything. He can't speak. He can't hear. He can't tell us what to do. All we can do is to remember him once or twice a year, perhaps on his birthday and on his death anniversary. That's all we could do. Maybe that's your story today. You're here to remember him. Pay your respects. You're here to remember the good things he did, the things that he taught perhaps. But his words, his commands don't have any influence or authority over you because he's dead. If that is you this morning, let me encourage you to keep listening. Keep listening. Now, a few years ago, a friend of ours came to put a fence in our backyard. It was quite a straightforward job. He had to put a few poles on the concrete floor, and then just attach the fencing stuff. Probably a half a day's work. Everything was going smoothly and according to plan until there was a twist. As he was drilling the concrete, guess what? He drilled through a half an inch water pipe. Just right through, just half an inch. I mean, that's a small pipe, right? He managed to find that and drill through that. So we had to get an emergency plumber, we had to pay a bit extra, and the work took about 2 days to finish. There was a twist in the story. And in this story as well, there is a twist. As they were walking, these women, they probably turned a corner and they look up, and they see something disturbing. The very large stone that was against the tomb had been moved, had been rolled away. And they enter the tomb. They don't see the body of Jesus. Instead, they see a man in a white robe sitting there on the right side. Mark says, well, when they saw this young man, they were alarmed, disturbed, distressed. Now, imagine who wouldn't, right? The stone is rolled away. They were expecting a lifeless dead body, but that is missing. And they see a man dressed in white, probably shining, glowing in a graveyard in the early hours of the morning. That could have been quite scary, right? The women simply came to anoint the dead body of Jesus and go home and carry on with their lives. It was probably quite a straightforward job. They came to close the deal with Jesus. But God brings a twist into the story. He literally opens the tomb to allow them to be confronted by an angel. Why? He wants them to know the story of Jesus is not over yet. And again, if we pause here a little bit, there are some who have given up on Christianity or Jesus, haven't they? But they can't completely shut the door on Jesus. It's like that annoying door in your house, which you can't probably close it because it's got a bit of a bow or there's something stuck. So you just keep it open. You want to shut it, but you just keep it open. Why can't people shut the door on Jesus? Perhaps there has been a twist. or two in their own life or somebody else's life closer to them, a miracle, a healing of a friend, a divine intervention. Perhaps there is this annoying Christian friend who keeps reminding them about Jesus, who is too nice, and they're more too Jesus-like. Perhaps that's where you find yourself today. There has been a twist or twists in your life because Jesus keeps popping up. And you don't know what to do with Jesus. And can I suggest this morning, this is God's mercy and His amazing love for you, if that is you. Because He doesn't want you, my friends, to perish, but He wants to have eternal life. And the only way you and I can have eternal life with God is if we believe in Jesus and follow Him. And to those who believe in Jesus, now God offers a new story, doesn't He? A brand new story. To the women who thought that the story has ended, God brings a twist in their story. He rolls the stone away from the tomb, not for Jesus to come out. No. It is for the benefit of the women and for us to go in and hear the best news ever. The news that the tomb is empty because Jesus has risen. Jesus has risen. And the angel invites these women to come and see, investigate the place He was laid. So, see, Christianity doesn't invite you to just have blind faith. No, just come and see, investigate. See the claims. Hear the good news. You see, friends, with the resurrection, a new story of Jesus has begun. And as we'll read in the rest of the New Testament, the resurrected Jesus has a glorious body. He will appear to His people, He will talk with them, He will eat with them. And after 40 days of His crucifixion, He will be ascended into heaven and He will sit at the right hand of God the Father. And He promises to return one day as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But now from heaven, He intercedes for His people. The resurrection, friends, is a new story that has begun in Jesus. It's not a new story only for Jesus, right? It's a new story for His followers as well. It begins a brand new story for His followers. Have a look at verse 7. The angel tells the woman, "Go and tell the disciples and Peter a message that Jesus is going ahead of them into Galilee, and they will see Him just as He told them." Back in Mark chapter 14, while He was still with the disciples, He told them, "I will see you in Galilee." Now, why is it new beginning for the disciples and Peter? Because, you see, Peter and the disciples, their journey has ended, right? And it actually ended even before Jesus was crucified, right? All the disciples fled at His arrest. They abandoned Him. Peter, as I mentioned earlier, he denied knowing Jesus 3 times. But guess what? Jesus wants to see them again. Jesus wants to meet them again in Galilee. Do you see how Jesus gives them a new start? A fresh start. A brand new story. Jesus makes sure that their disobedience, their abandoning of him, not the end of their story. For his disciples who have fallen, backslidden, those who think that they have gone too far from him, his major message is he's going ahead of them to Galilee and waiting for them. And they must make the journey. Not to the tomb, because at the tomb you won't find Jesus. Meet the risen Lord Jesus. Go to Galilee. Or perhaps that's where you find yourself this morning. Like the first disciples, maybe you have abandoned Jesus and gone your own way. You've disobeyed his word, disowned him, you have fallen into sin yet again. Maybe you have made a childhood commitment to follow Jesus, but you have backslidden. The choices that you may have made in the past have brought you away from Jesus. And you may find that your story with Jesus has ended. But as we've seen, Jesus' resurrection offers a new story for you. Because his resurrection is proof that his death has paid the penalty for sins past, present, and future. And what he requires of us is to come to him and find forgiveness. And the Bible says when we confess our sins, he will forgive us and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. And to those who come to Christ Jesus, the Apostle Paul says, they are a new creation. The old has gone, buried, crucified, and we are given a new life. A new identity, a new purpose, a new heart. Isn't this the good news of the resurrection? And if it includes a traitor like Peter, then we can be so assured that it includes those who have failed Christ in every generation. And if that's you this morning, you must make that journey. Not to a holy place, not to the Holy Land, not to a sacred building. Today we meet the risen Lord Jesus in the pages of the Scriptures, the Bible, the living Word. And as we read, we are promised that the Holy Spirit will enable us to see Jesus, to grow in our faith, to find life, life to the full. In Jesus. A brand new story. Oh, we could go home, right? We could go home there. We've all got a brand new story. But then the story continues in verse 8. Now, most of your Bibles, if you have your Bibles, you will notice there is a note there. Something which may read like this. The early manuscripts and some of the ancient witnesses do not have Mark 9 to 20, which we didn't read today. Which means Mark, who wrote this gospel, originally ended his gospel at verse 8. Which means verse 9 to 20 is a later addition by an editor. Now, if Mark did finish at verse 8, which I believe he did, it is very abrupt, isn't it? It is very abrupt. Have a read through that. It's not a good ending, right? I mean, Mark's whole purpose of writing this book is that people will follow Jesus. He invited his first disciples, leave everything behind, come follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. But we come to verse 8, nobody's following Jesus. And after all that we've read in the whole of Mark 16 so far, we expect at least the women to kind of be filled with joy and filled with faith and excitement, running to tell everyone about Jesus has risen, the tomb is empty. But they don't. Mark says they were trembling, bewildered. They fled and said nothing to anyone. Isn't that an abrupt ending? Anticlimax? Now, I want to suggest two reasons why Mark ended the gospel in verse 8. Why I think Mark ended in verse 8. First, Mark wants us to know the response of these women were real. They were real. They were afraid. They were scared. Seeing the rolled stone, the stone rolled away, the empty tomb, the encouraging or the encounter with the angel, hearing the great news that Jesus has risen, did not make them believers immediately. That did not make them followers of Jesus immediately. You see, friends, even today you can have all the evidence in the world, answers to prayers, miraculous healing, divine encounters. You could listen to pulpit thumping messages and heart pounding messages, tear drawing messages. But none of them would be able to make you a believer. None of them would be able to make you a follower of Jesus. Now, all these things are good. We need them. It would frighten you. It would poke your interest. It would maybe warm your hearts, but not bring faith. It would not make you a follower of Jesus. Then what would? As we saw in verse 7, only a personal encounter with Jesus, the risen Lord Jesus, will make you a believer, a follower of Jesus. And the second thing I think why Mark deliberately ends this gospel in verse 8, is because what matters is not what the women did or what the disciples did. It doesn't matter what Peter did. What really matters today is what you and I would do with the resurrected Jesus, isn't it? Mark literally puts the ball in our court. He wants us to step into this unfinished story and keep writing our own story. And if you glance through, if you have your Bibles, Mark 9 to 20, as I mentioned, is a later edition. But we have it recorded for a reason. It is actually someone from the early church attempting to finish the gospel in a nice way. So you will read, when Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene, she went and told the disciples. They didn't believe. When the two disciples met Jesus on their way home, they went and told the disciples. They didn't believe. Jesus himself appears to the 11 disciples in person, and they get a good rebuke, don't they, for not believing. And they also receive a commission from Jesus to go and preach the gospel to all creation. And the gospel ends with this extended ending, with us seeing them just do that, being witnesses of Jesus. Now, friends, you and I have been given this invitation to follow the King. That is Mark's invitation to us. But Mark chapter 16 says, now it's your move. Now it's your move. How would you continue this story today? if you haven't yet, would you believe in Jesus, the risen Lord Jesus? What would that look like? If you have, would you continue to be a follower of Jesus? What would that look like for you? Would you be his witness to all creation? What would that look like for you? You see, it's your move. It's your move. Why don't we take a couple of minutes just to reflect on those questions. What would you do with Jesus today? What would be your response to the risen Lord Jesus? Let's do that for a couple of minutes and I'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. It is active, alive. It is life-changing, transforming. We thank you, Lord, your word is not there for us just to listen or read. Your word invites us to respond. Your word calls us to action. This morning, Father, we've heard what you have done to bring Jesus up from the tomb, up from the grave. We've heard, oh, that the tomb was empty. We heard the call to the disciples not to go to the tomb but go to Galilee to see the risen Lord Jesus. And this morning I pray that we, as you heard this call, that we will go and meet the risen Lord Jesus. And Father, for those who haven't yet believed in Jesus and found your forgiveness, I pray this morning, may you churn their hearts to your spirit, allow them to see Jesus. Pray, Father, for those who have backslidden, lost their way, they will come back to the fold, find forgiveness in you. Pray, Father, that all of us will continue to be witnesses of the risen Lord Jesus. Lord, that we will live as people of the risen King, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We ask this for your glory, in his name. Amen.